This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Collin II, and with me, as always, is
Sesame, Credence, and Carta.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
I think it rolls off the tongue pretty well.
It rolls pretty well, you know?
Huh.
I think if I ever have a child, I'm not going to name him that, but that's a good name.
It's a good name to not name someone.
Yes.
Like if there was ever a name to not name someone that was still a good name, it would be that.
Yes.
Like it's not even in the running, but it's like still a good name to.
It's like Engelbert Humperdinck, you know.
Exactly. Does someone really name him that, or was that a stage name?
I'm pretty sure that was a stage name.
Good, because why would anyone do that? Yeah. But like,
it's kind of like Corky Pigeon. He decided to choose that as his stage name. So,
oh, that wasn't his real name. Good,
no,
good.
No,
good. He was in that band, right? Big in Japan, punk band.
Well,
not
yeah.
punk, like a punk band, kind of. Well, no, there was like a comedy.
he was in a band called Big in Japan.
Okay.
But
he also did like comedy. Music like right like
I don't know, I think it was okay, mainly whatever. Just like punk. Whatever. But yeah, he's my ex's uncle, so
and what show was he in? Silver Spoons?
Yes.
Or was it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I just always liked his name, Corky Pigeon.
Yeah, I know, it's a good name.
But anyway, speaking of, you know, things with weird names, Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yay! Yeah,
is the wonderful film that we are covering this week.
It's definitely a movie that you can see. That's true statement.
There are people in it.
Mm-hmm.
There are moving pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like 24 of them per second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm correct so far, right?
I think so. Oh, is that why? Because sometimes I make my videos, I always assume that more frames per second was better. Is that not necessarily the case?
Or... Oh, it just depends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering sometimes my videos actually look better with less frames per second than I do with.
Well, if you wanted to look more like film, you're going to go 24.
Gotcha. Okay. So there are definitely people here in the movie. I mean, there are actors.
There's actors.
Who play these characters.
There was a director named David Yates.
Which he directed some of the Harry Potter films.
Yes. And he's directed the other two Fantastic Beast films.
And for some reason, he's downgraded himself to doing these. Yes. And because I get paid a lot of money to do it, so why not?
And there was a screenplay.
Yes.
Yes.
Written by, or at very least co-written by.
Yes, it
was. J.K.
Oh, I thought Kirsten. You were going to say Steve Kloves, because he co-wrote it with J.K. Rowling.
Oh, he co-wrote it, so it's his screenplay.
No, he gets second billing. But
he gets second billing, got it. Okay.
Yes, and
so she wrote. Okay.
And Steve Steve is known for writing most of the Harry Potter films. I think all of them, actually.
Like the actual script? Or
yeah, he wrote the screenplays for all of them.
Okay.
He also wrote Wonder Boys, which is a really good movie. The Fabulous Baker Boys, which is a good movie. He likes movies with boys. And, wait, that came out wrong.
Wait, what? Like, the titles.
Yes. He also wrote The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
The Andrew Garfield film. Yes.
All right.
Which is now available on Netflix if you'd like to watch it. I just noticed.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yes. So yeah, he wrote those. So he's a decent writer.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Rowling is a decent writer.
Only so much you can do with what you got given, though. So,
yeah. yeah, it's based on a screenplay written by J.K. Rowling. So she wrote a screenplay, but then she co-wrote a screenplay that was based on the screenplay she wrote.
Wait, okay, this is getting very confusing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not only that, this whole movie series is confusing because, so, for those who are not like a Potter super fan like I am, despite my hatred for the author, for various reasons, is that there was a book that was part of the curriculum of the students of Hogwarts called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them by Newt Scamander.
Yes.
And then J.K. Rowling actually wrote that book as the writer, Newt Scamander. It's like for like a charity thing, I think. So okay. Like, but then you could actually then read one of the school books that the students in the fictional Harry Potter universe read themselves, basically. So that's what.
So it was written as a textbook, basically.
Yeah. So you got to read what like Harry and everyone else had to read, basically. So it's kind of like a sort of interactive, like immersive. It's before she became a terrible person or revealed herself as a terrible person, whichever way you look at it. It's kind of a unique, or maybe not unique, but it's kind of a nice immersive way to sort of introduce new like books or whatever. Cause you're literally like part of like the school. Now you're reading their textbooks, you know? And she did the same thing for Quidditch Through the Ages, which is what Hermione gave Harry either as a birthday gift or a Christmas present.
Okay.
So she wrote that one too. So it's like you get to read like books that are actually mentioned in the Harry Potter books, which is probably pretty cool. But not to be long-winded like she is, because she's super long-winded, but is that book had absolutely nothing to do with Grindelwald, anything to do with Dumbledore. It was just a textbook about magical creatures and like their various attributes. Like that was,
well, I mean, story. That's in defense, they probably just needed a name for these movies that they wanted to make,
well,
that featured Newt. So
yeah, but it's just, it has nothing to do with, I mean, it'd be one thing if like, let's say the author in question is someone who knows a lot about like defensive magic or like when it comes to like fighting, that would make sense. But you got a book about a guy who wrote about magical creatures. Like the two things don't like at all like interlink with each other. Is what my argument is, basically.
Yeah.
Like, if you're all about fighting the bad guy, it would make sense to find a guy who or girl who wrote a book about how to fight bad guys. And you're like, oh, well, that makes sense because this person is like super good at like defensive magic, so they'll know exactly the counterspell to use if Grindelwald and his followers decide to like just start shooting killing curses at us or whatever. No, we're gonna get the guy who writes about animals. It's like, okay. You know, so that's my main nitpick of the entire series overall. Like the first movie,
well, I mean,
I think could have been a standalone film, to be honest.
I'm like, just being the devil's advocate here, literally the devil. there might be more facets to Newt than just knowing about creatures, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he is a good magician. He is a good wizard. Yeah,
so,
I know that.
So what I'm saying is it's like, you know, the person that wrote my math textbook might also be a good race car driver, but they don't talk about it in the math textbook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Arguing on behalf of the devil. No.
I'm just saying that that's how I, dealt with it in my own mind, you know, so.
Yeah. Them using the title just to kind of grab your attention. Like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
I sort of remember Fantastic Beasts and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they just wanted to do something that was already kind of known within the Potter world. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So anyways, folks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyways, folks, we're covering this movie called The Secrets of Dumbledore, which is the third installment in the Fantastic Beasts series. Okay, and this film stars... Yeah. It's going to go through this before we get too deep into the woods.
Okay.
In
the woods, yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to get lost in the woods because you might find some fantastic beasts there that'll kill you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. We've got Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander, our main protagonist. We got Jude Law as the young Albus Dumbledore. Ezra Miller as... Credence Barebone, a.k.a. Aurelius Dumbledore. We got Dan Fogler, as Jacob Kowalski.
Yes!
He's my favorite. He's my favorite actor in this whole series.
Oh, totally. I love the Kowalski, if I can call him that.
And if you have not started watching yet, people, get yourself a free trial of Paramount Plus or something, if you don't already have it, and start watching The Offer, in which he plays Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, cool.
It's all about the making of The Godfather, and the series is outstanding. And he's really good in it, too. So
nice.
He's one of the main characters. It's more about the producer of the movie, but but it's...
Yeah.
It's just a really good recommendation and worth your time, unlike this movie. And
he's also in The Walking Dead, or he was. I don't know if he's gotten killed off at this point or not.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he plays one of the dudes in
I don't watch that show, so I don't know. So
yeah, he's been in I think he's been...
Oh yeah, his character's name is Luke on The Walking Dead.
He's in 7 or 8. I'm not sure when he showed up exactly, or maybe it was 9. but yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it in a while either. But yeah, I love... Jacob's like my favorite character in the entire series. Yeah. I love him so much.
He's also in the really good movie Fanboys. Speaking of movies with boys in the title.
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one with Patton Oswalt, right?
I think he's in it too. Yeah, he is. But it's got like what's her face from The Good Place? Kristen. Why am I blanking on her name? I love this one.
excuse me. What? Shoot. Not Kristen Wiig. I know that much.
No, it's
I'm blanking, man.
Why am I blanking?
I don't know.
Kristen Bell.
There we go. Yes. Bell.
Dax Shepard's wife, that lady.
I was just talking about forgetting Sarah Marshall. I should have gotten that right.
And yet we were forgetting Kristen Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Forgetting Kristen Bell, that's the new movie.
Documentary about the making of forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Well, it's just a documentary about this 2 minutes where we couldn't remember her name. Okay, we got... You know, other people, including Mads Mikkelsen as Gelbert Grindelwald. He replaced Johnny Depp. and there's no mention whatsoever as to why he looks completely different than anyway, so
yeah, that's the part of the curse of the series, that there's three separate people have already played the character in a 5-year movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you got Allison Sudol as Queenie Goldstein in this.
Yep, Queenie.
William Nadalem as Yusuf Karma. Jessica Williams as Lally Hicks. Eulalie Hicks, that is. Who I really liked. A lot of people have seen bad things about her online, and mostly it's because she's a strong black woman, and people tend to do that.
Yeah. My wizarding world's all white, man.
Yep.
That it's a fictional universe where people can cast spells with wands and create fire and water, but black wizard or witch is one bridge too far.
So anyways, there's a bunch of other people in this too. You got, you know, Callum Turner is Theseus Scamander as well, which is another great name, Theseus.
Yeah, it is.
If I ever have a child, I'm not going to name them Theseus.
Right.
But it's a good name. Yes.
It's a good name, yeah.
Okay, so, all right. We don't even necessarily have to get too deep into the quote-unquote plot of this movie. I think this is more of a reaction, you know, podcast here.
I mean, it would take like 10 minutes to go through the entire plot of everything that actually happened in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think it'll take 10 minutes. I think it'll take about a minute and a half.
The theme just stretched on forever, but nothing actually really happened. Yeah. So reaction slash maybe review.
So
yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. My first reaction is title. The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yeah.
What secrets? Which Dumbledore?
Exactly.
Because the way the poster makes you think is that we're talking about Albus.
And there's multiple secrets.
Yeah, but he doesn't have really any secrets. It's his brother who kind of does have a secret.
And that's one. That's it.
It's one secret.
It's not multiple. Secrets.
No.
Is plural.
Yes.
J.K. Rowling should know this because ostensibly he's an author.
Because I'm looking at the poster right now.
Mm-hmm.
His brother doesn't appear on the poster anywhere.
Oh, of course not. Why would he? He's just Dumbledore's brother, right? He doesn't matter.
But he's the one with the secret.
Oh, sorry. Shoot, I accidentally... I'm muting the television.
Right, oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Hope the Jeopardy theme isn't gonna like demonetize us for like 2 seconds or whatever.
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, so there's one secret of one Dumbledore in the entire movie, and yet we were supposed to be led to believe that this was a whole movie about like, oh my god, what's Albus Dumbledore hiding? Because like, okay, so like you want to talk about reactions, okay? Again, Potter super fan here, despite how terrible the author is. I've read these books probably at least 7 times each, right?
Okay.
So I know a lot. I mean, like, not every little detail, obviously, because that's like, there's like 4,000 pages accumulative.
I read the first book half-heartedly once.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you that's the difference between you and I. So there we go.
That's fine. So I know a lot about what's going on in books. So one of the main themes of the book is how Dumbledore has been either just straight up lying to Harry throughout the entire series, or that he's only giving them half truths in the hopes that Harry will discover the ultimate truth on his own. Okay. And then a lot of the last book is Harry basically dealing with the fact that, you know, Dumbledore's dead, and yet, you know, he didn't tell him enough about what he really needs
to do. And he can't reconcile the anger, guilt, or whatever he has, you know.
Right. Yeah, so he's got this conflicting loyalty where he misses his mentor, but he's angry at him at the same time because he commissioned them with this like seemingly impossible task with hardly any knowledge, you know, of how to actually do it. And that so much of his history has just been either lied to or just hidden from him. So finally, when Harry, quote, dies, he doesn't actually die. Voldemort destroys the piece of his soul that's actually inside of Harry because he accidentally made a Horcrux out of Harry. So Voldemort basically just killed himself, essentially, or made himself closer to being mortal. So yeah. Harry didn't actually die, but then Harry goes into this sort of like limbo dream state slash purgatory type of situation where Dumbledore finally like tells him like the full truth, like everything that he's been hiding from him. And he apologizes to him profusely, saying that it was like an old man's mistake of trying to protect, you know, someone young who he didn't want to put the burden of knowledge, you know, on someone so young. You know, he wanted him to be able to actually have a childhood and, you know, that kind of thing. So like, and then that's the end of that scenario with him and Dumbledore is, you know, is basically everything's on the table now. It tells him absolutely everything. No more lies or no more half-truths. Here's the full picture. Then Harry ends up waking up from, quote, dying. And then now he has the resolve to finally finish the task of either killing Voldemort or Dumbledore asked him one last time to give him one last chance to show some kind of remorse. But if he doesn't, then he's just going to have to kill him, basically. You know, yes. Or, well, you know, that's a great thing to tell a 17-year-old kid. But anyway, and then, well, 17's the age of maturity for wizards, so I guess he's just barely a young adult. But okay, so, but then we get these movies. Well, wait a minute. So he didn't tell Harry about Credence. He didn't tell Harry about, he was sort of patching things up with his brother during this time, but the way that the books make it sound like Aberforth still has like this horrible grudge against his brother, but yet these movies are building towards a reconciliation. So why would they reconcile? And then 50 years later, his brother is still really angry and mad at him. Like, it's like none of this stuff is adding up. Like, it just seems like,
well, maybe he got pissed off at him for something else. Like he,
maybe, you but know, it's
just, he asked him to borrow a piece of gum one time. And, yeah. and Albus was like, dude, no, you shouldn't be chewing gum. And he got all pissed yeah. about that. That's what it's all about, I think.
Yeah, then he held that grudge for the next, like, 40 years or whatever, mm-hmm. or 50 years. Yeah, that makes sense. So, and I would be fine. See, here's the thing. I would be fine if this was, like, a standalone series that was, like, not really canon. It was just, like, its own, or, like, maybe, like, takes place, like, in a different timeline, or, like, if events played out differently, it's, like, its own thing. I'd be okay with that. But no, apparently this is supposed to be canon and it's supposed to like be directly linked to the Harry Potter.
The problem with it is the same problem that Star Wars has a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you have to have a legacy character in there for some reason.
Right.
When you don't necessarily need it because it's a big universe of characters.
Oh, yeah.
Why do we need Dumbledore in here?
Exactly.
Nothing against Jude Law, because I like his performance as Dumbledore in both movies.
Right.
But it's like, why do we need him here?
And yeah, because he doesn't really do much. I mean, he wasn't in the first movie at all, for one thing. And
that's the one I like.
Yeah, that's one I like too, because again, this would have been a fine standalone film, and it didn't even need to be a series.
I got a question for you as a Harry Potter fan. Is Grindelwald mentioned in the books?
Yes. So what we know about Grindelwald from the books or Wald, I always go from V to W. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I interchange how mm-hmm. I pronounce his name depending on my mood, basically. But Grindelwald is known as, like, he's even mentioned on the chocolate card of Dumbledore, because they have like these chocolate frog cards that you get like as like a snack or whatever.
Yeah.
And it comes with a card of like a famous wizard on it, and it like, just tells you a little bit about like their achievements or whatever. And on Dumbledore's, I think it even says like in the very first book, like he was famous for a bunch of things, but also defeating the dark wizard Grindelwald like in 1944 or whatever. And so he was like the precursor to Voldemort, basically. Mm-hmm. Like he had the same exact plans. The only difference is I think Grindelwald actually probably had more of a following than Voldemort did, and actually had more of the wizard community under his control than Voldemort ever did. So
it's interesting. I know the allegory they're kind of going for here is he's kind of a Donald Trump sort of surrogate in these movies.
Yeah, he's kind of got that.
He's a Donald Trump, Adolf Hitler surrogate in a way.
Yeah, I mean, Voldemort was too, but this one's much more on the nose as far as, well, for one thing, because he actually has a nose, unlike Voldemort, and, you know, his
turned body.
Anyway, exactly. But so, yeah, so Grindelwald, and then he's mentioned again in, I think, the sixth or seventh book, because that becomes a big a big part of the story of that is because he was searching for the Elder Wand, which is supposed to be an all-powerful wand that, like, nobody can ever defeat you with, basically. And he ends up stealing it when he was a youth from a wand maker from his part of the world, because Grigorovich was the wand maker. I think it's Germany-ish kind of area, whatever.
Is the relationship between Albus and him mentioned in the Harry Potter books?
It is, but it basically says, it doesn't say anything about him being gay, obviously, because she said that after the books were written.
Yeah.
But it just says that they were very close friends for a very short period of time, because Grindelwald's aunt lived just a few doors down from where Dumbledore lived, and he spent the summer with her after graduating his magic school, which was called Durmstrang. And Durmstrang is kind of a more dangerous school than Hogwarts, because they actually let you learn the dark arts there, not just defense against the dark arts. So
where's that school located?
They never conceal it. They never
reveal where it's located.
They keep it secret on purpose. So no one knows, but it's probably somewhere around Germany. Just the name itself sounds dramatic, yeah. Durmstrang. And of course, in this movie, we talk about the German Ministry of Magic. It's okay, a little bit on the nose, you get it? He's like a Nazi, right? So we're in Germany, get it?
And bringing up Star Wars again, this is very, let's just, do the whole, Palpatine is Hitler and...
Yeah...
sort of thing all over again, and so is Vader in a way.
So yeah, just to cut it short. So he has mentioned they know about their 2.5 month friendship, where Grindelwald basically kind of put Dumbledore under his spell a little bit, because he was very charismatic, and Dumbledore liked him a lot. So Dumbledore basically was trying to convince himself that he agreed with his friend, and he would write these letters back and forth, during the nights of summer, for their big plan that they were gonna basically take over the world for wizards. But Dumbledore was uncomfortable with some things, so he would always write things back but we gotta be careful that we don't actually hurt the muggles, because that's not our plan. So it's he was conflicted between wanting to impress his friend and agree with them, but at the same time he had his own conscience where he's we're not just gonna go kill muggles or enslave them or whatever. So it was I will give J.K. Rowling credit for that, because at least from my perspective, I can tell just from how he was writing these letters to Grindelwald that he was trying to convince himself more so than trying to convince Grindelwald about his ideas. He was trying to fit that new worldview into his own way of seeing things, because he was basically in love with this dude. I would say it's a crush personally, because their relationship consisted of all but 2.5 months in one summer. Wouldn't really necessarily call that a huge thing,
summer,
but whatever.
Loving had me a blast. Oh wait, sorry.
Yeah. But that was it. They knew each other for two. Anyway, so that's getting too far into the weeds of it, but whatever. So it's a known character in the book. We know what he did. We know what he tried to do. Dumbledore eventually defeats him during a famous duel. And he imprisons Grindelwald in like this fortress, basically like a concentration camp where he himself had created to put his own political opponents in. So Dumbledore just pretty much just locked him up in there in like a tiny little cell, basically. I don't know how he gets food. I don't know how, that's never explained, but like we see in the movies, he's like, and almost seems kind of cruel almost even for Dumbledore doesn't seem the kind of guy that would, I mean, like he seems like he's a pretty forgiving dude, but apparently he was that pissed at Grindelwald that he's like, I'm just going to lock you away in like a tiny cell for the rest of your life. Like, you know,
yeah.
So that's like the backstory of, yeah. So we can get back into this shitty movie, but
okay. So, I mean, the basic plot we got here is that there are these in China in 1932, we got these two creatures called Killens, which are like a chimera sort of creature that has hooves and everything that is like small, like deer like creature almost.
That no, chillin'. They're Chillens, man.
Yeah.
They're called Chillens.
Chillens. I said Killin'. I'm sorry. Chillens.
You do kill one of them. So, yeah. So
what ends up happening is there's twins here. There's only supposed to be one that they knew that was being born. Mm-hmm. And so Newt's trying to catch one of them. So they, you know, for the good people. And then you got the little baddies that are working with Grindelwald trying to catch one. Catch it too, and then they end up catching one of them. Newt doesn't know that a second one is being born. Blah blah blah. They catch the one, they kill it. and then create some kind of spell to make it look like it's alive. Later on, yeah, it's I don't know, but anyways,
it's hard because
yeah,
nothing happens in this movie, but yeah, it's hard to like remember.
so they got the, you know. Newt saved the other twin, and basically in this world, the Chillens basically help choose the leader.
Which was never ever explained in any of the Harry Potter books at all about how that works.
It bows in front of the one that it's that's the most pure, or you know, the pure of heart one or whatever. So there's all these people running for the Ministry of Magic, you know, to be the head of it or whatever.
Well, no, it's the leader of all wizards in the world.
Yeah. Isn't that the whole, isn't that called the Ministry, or is it just the,
well, no, the Ministry of Magic is specifically to do with like the British community.
Well, there's German ministries and everything. I thought it was like maybe the overall ministry.
It's called the International like Confederation of Wizards.
Or whatever. Oh, okay, there we go. All right,
but yeah, basically you're like the supreme leader of like the entire wizarding community, like all throughout the world, basically. Okay. Which, okay, so they have like a worldwide kingdom, like that's weird. But okay, and you have an animal that decides who's the leader.
So
okay,
yeah. Well, it makes about as much sense as how we elect people sometimes.
exactly.
Sometimes I almost wish that, you know, you would just have like a cat decide who's going to be the leader of America or something, you know.
Or chilling or whatever. Yeah, just see.
I want it to be a cat or a dog, a little dog.
That's fine. It could be a dog or a cat.
Yeah, a small little cute dog. No.
So my whole thing about this, though, sorry to interrupt you, but
I'm getting
so fucked up about this. So, like, so the whole point, we know, again, this was also described in, I think, the 7th Harry Potter book, is that Grindelwald was a seer, which is a very rare ability for most wizards to have. There's, you know, only a few of them. Professor Trelawney, who worked at Hogwarts, she's the one that had, like, the weird glasses and stuff like that. And she was sort of seen as like a fake seer, but yet almost all of her prophecies came true. So she was actually a real seer, but like she was just so weird that no one took her seriously, basically. But, and then so he's one too. And so it's a very rare ability. So he could already see into the future. And We see this in the Crimes of Grindelwald, which again, there's a sort of theme to these titles where the quote crimes and the quote secrets are finally revealed at the very end of the movie, but yet the title makes it sound like the whole movie is going to be about that thing. But whatever, that's no matter. That's just their fault for being stupid, I guess. But so like in that movie though, he's got like this weird like skull bong that he like smokes out of, like, I don't know if he's smoking weed or whatever out of it, but then like he blows like this big thing of smoke and it like basically like it shapes into form of like visions of the future or whatever. And then later on, I think he does the same thing when he has like this huge rally going on to get his followers all amped up about wizard fascism or whatever. And he does the same thing and he shows like a vision of World War II. So it's like he already has this ability, but yet he has to steal this chillin' or have it stolen for him. And then he kills it, slits its throat, and then he can see through like the blood of like some of the stuff that like Dumbledore and stuff people are up to. So it's like, well, wait, what happened to your skull bong? You not have that anymore? Did you sell it on eBay to buy like ketamine or something like that? Like, what's going on with that? So it's like, why do we suddenly need like a new creature to be introduced?
Well, in fact, I've been doing some buying on eBay lately, Matt. And yeah.
Did you buy skull bong? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's why. Yeah. So he. So Grindelwald sold it in the future somehow. Yeah. And then.
I've got that. I've also got Luke Skywalker's lightsaber.
Okay.
And the rosebud sled from Citizen Kane.
Gotcha.
I bought all these fictional.
So we got that shit. We're kind of skipping all over the place here because honestly, any of the scenes could have been any order in this movie and it would not matter, really, to be honest, except for the end. But anything else, it could just be, you could just splice up the film.
So basically, you get the point that this chilling thing is important.
Mm-hmm.
The good guys got one. The bad guys killed one.
Yeah, and they killed the mother, which is interesting though, because they did the killing spell and didn't kill the mother right away. They had to shoot it twice, and even then, she didn't die until like a few minutes later. So that's interesting right there.
Yeah.
That it's got some kind of protective armor against the killing curse, which is interesting.
Yeah. So anyways, then you know, we get to the end where we have a fake election.
Yep, fake election.
Yes.
Where the bad guy pretends that he won and
yeah. And this is the only fake results of election that happened in the past couple of years. just letting you know, because Trump lost. Anyway, so he ends up picking the right leader. Who was this chick that won?
Well, first it bows to Dumbledore, and he's like, "No, don't pick me, please, don't pick me." So he tells the chillin that he's honored, but he says, it's actually quite a beautiful line. He says, "Just as there is two of you, there's also an equal candidate here as well." So then the chillin picks Santos.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna pick like Aberforth or something, you know. So
that would have been cool, or Jacob, even though he's a muggle or no manage or whatever.
Jacob would have been cool. That would have been cool.
But since he can't really rule over wizards because he's not a wizard, so that wouldn't make any sense. But he does have purity of heart, so
that's what I was.
But man, there's just so much this movie. Like I do want to go over through some of it just because of how bad it is.
Yeah.
But, like. Well, we kind of told you to end already. So
yeah, I just wanted to get the plot out of the way so we can nitpick the fuck out of it. So
the chillin' with the villain, literally at this point, the chillin' with the villain that he killed the chillin', and then the chillin' died again because he reanimated its corpse essentially through some weird. Which again, that's another nitpicking too. So we're introduced to all this new forms of magic that we never got in the Harry Potter films from any. Not just the children, okay, understandable. They're just kids. They're just learning, fine. But none of the adults were practicing any of these forms of magic.
I mean,
so
maybe it's like, just magic that only certain people can do, or it's outlawed or something.
Maybe something happened over time where it's not in vogue anymore, or because there's spells. I mean, even Harry.
I mean,
Potter,
we're not all dancing the Charleston anymore, you know. So
It could be, because I know in the sixth Harry Potter book, Professor Lupin does mention how spells tend to kind of go in and out of vogue over time, so it could just be something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Chilling chooses Dumbledore, then Dumbledore's like no, and then Grindelwald does the Cruciatus curse on Jacob. So that's a war. That's like a war crime right in front of everyone right there. And then Santos waits like a whole like 5 minutes before lifting the curse from him for some reason. But yet she's the worthy candidate to rule all the wizards.
Yep.
Just let the muggle ride.
She jumps right on those things. You know, she is going to make a good leader, because most leaders, you know, take their time before they decide that they're going to intervene in, you know, some kind of world problem or something such as the Ukraine. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
Or anything else. Like, so I guess Santos is a good leader in that regard, where she's like, oh, here's this person being tortured. I'm just going to watch for like 2 straight minutes before I lift the curse. Okay. I guess he's had enough. What the hell, dude? But, so that's the ending. And then of course, Grindelwald is just able to escape. Like there's no security. There's no way of just like capturing this guy. Like, he just leaves.
You have like all of these fucking magicians there, or I mean magic people, like, you know, all these wizards and witches and whatnot.
And he just leaves. He puts this protective bubble around himself, and then they shoot past the bubble and it starts breaking. And then he says, I was never your enemy, nor am I now. And then he looks at Dumbledore as he says that. So it's like, so Grindelwald like actually believes the shit he's saying, or is he just still manipulating him? I don't know. But like, oh yeah, so we forgot too. So the whole last movie, everything's about MacGuffin in these movies, which is fine. A lot of movies have a MacGuffin, but like these ones are really stupid. So the second movie, Crimes of Grindelwald, which there's only one crime in the entire movie, and it happens within the last 20 minutes of the movie, just like in this movie.
See what my feeling on that is, we didn't see some scenes where he like shoplifted.
Yeah. Well, that could have been possible too.
Yeah.
Well, actually there were crimes, cause they killed a kid in that movie. They took over someone's house and they killed all the family members. And then there was a baby in one of the rooms, and then he doesn't have it. He has one of his followers kill the baby, cause I guess that was even too much for him. So he had to delegate that to some crazy French, which, you know, that's pretty hot, but whatever. Anyway, and he escapes after the bubble bursts, literally and figuratively, and apparates to wherever he lives in now. And then, like, yay, Santos is the leader. And then Jacob gets married to Queenie. And at the very end of the movie, Dumbledore, for some reason, doesn't join the wedding for, I don't know why, for reasons, I guess. And then he just stands outside.
Yeah.
Doesn't come to the wedding for, I have no idea why you wouldn't do that, but whatever. And Tina,
I think he's protesting straight weddings because he's gay, and he's hoping that eventually gay marriage will be legal in the United States.
So he's trying, that was his act of protest. I don't know.
Yeah, and then, I'm joking. I don't know. I'm just
kidding. No, that's not it. And then, and then Queenie, who's also like such a cutie pie. I love her so much. She's just so sweet and kind, which makes absolutely no sense of why she joined Grindelwald in the first place, but that's another nitpick right there. Anyway, so, and then Tina.
It totally betrayed her character in the first movie, but anyway.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, nothing. There's no way that made any sense. There's they didn't even try to attempt it. All they did was they dyed her hair a little bit whiter. That was it. Oh, she's a darker version of herself now, because her hair is a little bit whatever. Anyway, and so Tina shows up, and she is like kind of like now like a big shot in the American Ministry of Magic, which is why they explained why she wasn't in it. So that's the other thing. So Tina is not in the movie at all until literally like the last 4 minutes of the movie. So she's supposed to be one of the main characters of the series. She's not in it. Nagini, not at all. Not even mentioned in the film. She's just gone.
Who is she?
So Nagini was the woman that could turn into a snake, or has the curse where she'll eventually become a snake forever. Oh, yeah. And then she becomes Voldemort's snake later on. So that Nagini plays a huge part in the Harry Potter story.
Yeah, so they just threw her in that second movie or whatever.
And then she's gone.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's not even a mention as to what happened to her. Did the curse finally get her? Like, nothing, right? And then so, like, that, I don't know if the actress just quit because she just... Because, for one thing, she got hardly any... I think she had, like, a total of, like, 10 lines in the entire movie anyway. Last movie it came
out. Yeah, but an actor quitting or getting let go isn't going to stop them from keeping the character in the movie.
No, it isn't.
Because so we got Grindelwald.
So they literally just did not acknowledge. And then, like, so... And I think Rowling and co. have now delegated most of their stuff to people coming up with theories on YouTube. And I think they just decide whether or not some of these theories are good for the movies. And I think personally, I think they're jealous of some of these theories because they're actually better mm-hmm. than what's actually in the movie. And I think they just don't use them out of spite, basically, because they're like, oh, that actually was a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? All right. Like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and say, by the way, Credence is actually Aberforth's son, instead of like these really cool complex theories that like the Super Coen brothers would come up with. They're like, no, that's too complex and interesting. Can't have that. We're just going to be like, Aberforth fell in love too and had sex with someone and then had a kid. Like, oh, that's interesting. Got okay. Like, that was the big mystery. Like, what? Like, what a letdown.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and then Credence is dying in the film because he's what they call an Obscurio, which is someone who has suppressed their magic for most of their lives, and that actually gives you like a wizard or witch like a sickness basically because it's like it's pent up. So he's dying from.
So he's like constipated, basically.
Well, it is. It's like wizardly constipation, but it can kill you literally. Yeah. And then,
constipation can kill you too.
Well, it can. You're right.
Yeah.
So technically, Grindelwald was not lying when he said he was a Dumbledore. It's just that Albus was not his brother; he's his uncle. He was partially telling the truth, but he was lying as well. And so Credence, as far as we know, is dying. Maybe they'll find a way to fix him up in the 4th or 18th movie or whatever they're going to do. How many? That's the other thing. Why do we need so many movies? That's my other problem. So the whole point of setting up a story is so that the story actually eventually happens at some point. You don't need 3 movies of exposition before you actually get,
especially like, when you're not guaranteed another sequel.
Exactly, like for like Legends of Tomorrow, for example, they left off on a cliffhanger and we're never going to see it. Well, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of TV shows make a little bit more sense because sometimes you know you feel like you're hopeful that you're going to get another thing, but when you're a movie that's like produced by Warner Brothers and you're getting you know millions of dollars in a budget, you think Warner Brothers would be like, hey, can we kind of tie this up just in case it doesn't do that well at the box office so we don't have to make another one?
Yeah, honestly, 3 movies is enough. Yeah. You don't need more. You don't even need 3. So the last movie, it just seems like this was like a repeat of the last movie because like the whole last movie was about Grindelwald. He's gaining traction. He's gaining followers. He broke out of prison. And then there's like a big thing at the end where he basically tries to set the entire city of Paris on fire with like his magic fire dragon or whatever. And then they stop it. And then now he's on the run again because he already escaped from prison once. And then he's a fugitive, played by a different actor, of course. And then it seems like the same thing happened again. He's gaining followers. He's gaining traction. This time, though, he actually gets absolved of his crimes, and then he's allowed to run for basically supreme leader of the world's wizards. But again, it's just like, why would you do that? Like, okay, you can absolve some of their crimes, but like, in the next day, you're like, oh, by the way, he can also run for like.
You and know, the thing is whether it was Johnny Depp or Mads Mikkelsen, I don't see the charismatic leader in him that you should have with that character. And I blame the writing, not the acting.
You're not
showing somebody like you can understand when you see video, even though he's kind of crazy, like of Charles Manson or video of Adolf Hitler or Jim Jones, even, you know, why people followed these people.
Yeah.
I don't see why any of these people, unless they're all under some kind of weird spell that he has over them, like literally a spell.
Could be, but that, we don't know.
You know, I don't get why, you know, like with Queenie, for example, is following him, you know?
Yeah, so that's a great point. So the whole point of, okay, so one of the things about Grindelwald that was actually, that differed him from Voldemort, which I liked because, you know, why essentially have the same character twice with a different name? So with Grindelwald, he was slightly less evil than Voldemort in a very particular way. And it was that he didn't really care about the whole pureblood thing. His whole thing was, if you're a witch and or a wizard, you're like, you're superior to the Muggles. It didn't matter if you came from like a far. Yeah. So Voldemort though was very much about, no, like, you not only do you have to be a wizard or witch, you have to also come from a pure bloodline family. So that could have been the reason. That could have also explained why Grindelwald maybe had more followers than Voldemort, because he didn't have that sort of built-in restriction already of like, well, you gotta follow me, but you also have to be pureblood at the same time. So he was like, look, we're all wizards and witches. We're better than the Muggles. Doesn't matter if you yourself even came from a family of Muggles. You're special because you've got that wizard gene within you, basically. But then in this movie, they turn him into Voldemort, where he's all about like, oh, Jacob and Queenie are going to get married and pollute our kind. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, why are you making him into Voldemort when he at least had one thing that was different about him? And then, like, you just got rid of that. Like, you know?
Yeah, because they're not really polluting the kind. They're, if they have kids, they're actually creating probably more people with magic, whether they be half Muggle or not. It's still, you know.
Yeah, so OG, that was OG Grindelwald's mentality. And yeah. The thing, though, is that he he did sort of, what's the word? He, not really appeased, but he did allow the pure blood fanatics to kind of join him and let their voices be known, because he knew that they would be like some of the most fanatical of his followers. But
well, it could be like a real politician type of person who doesn't reveal their true beliefs until later on, or like a J.K. Rowling who doesn't reveal their true beliefs until later on.
That's true. So maybe that's what she was doing. She's like, I am like Grindelwald here. Anyway, so he... I'm like getting so sidetracked. Okay, so like, why am I forgetting? I watched it twice, and I'm forgetting so much about what happened. So,
do you want to take a break and look it over really quick, and then we'll come back?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are
back. I guess.
Do we have to be? No.
I mean, we don't have to do anything, really. But,
oh, that's true. And I don't want to sound negative, folks, because I hope whoever's listening to this does enjoy our witty banter.
Yeah.
As much as J.K. Rowling enjoys being a TERF.
Don't say that. That's a slur now. You're not allowed to say
that. Oh, I'm sorry. As much as she enjoys being a bigoted bitch.
Whoa, don't say that either, because now you're using gendered language.
Okay. As much as she enjoys being herself.
Yeah, she's allowed to use gendered language, but you're not allowed to use gendered language.
Shit, I forgot, man.
Those are the rules. Sorry. No, I had a friend who, you know, gave me quite an earful. Well, not an earful, I guess you would call it a chatful, if that's even a word, about how, you know, TERF is a slur and you're not allowed to use it because it's, you know, it's being mean to women who just believe that sex is real, and that, you know, it's mean to call them bigoted because of that.
It's,
I'm like,
it's actually,
it's accurate.
It's actually an accurate word for what they're doing.
Okay, so the only thing I would say that would not be accurate is because, so TERF stands for trans exclusive or exclusionary radical, yeah. radical feminist. So yeah. someone might take an issue with the idea of thinking themselves as a radical feminist. Maybe they just think they're a regular feminist. Okay, so you're a TEF then.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you're a TEF. So that's, I could see that one point of contention as being mm-hmm. fine. Okay, you could take that point, whatever. A half point, really, you know. Yeah, but I was told can't say that. We're just feminists who believe that, you know, biological femalehood is real, and which again, no trans person has ever disagreed with, unless you find like maybe one person on Twitter with like 2 followers, and you're like, look what I found. I found a transgender who said something weird. Yep. You know, like, which, you know, you can do that with any group, you know, like I found this weird black person who said some weird shit. So all black people now are blah, blah, blah.
Well, aren't all black people like Candace Owens?
Fortunately, no.
They're not. Okay, good. So just making sure.
It's a good thing, yeah. No, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, back to this great film thing.
Yeah.
Movie.
This moving picture.
Moving picture.
It was very moving.
It was moving, literally.
I felt it down in my soul.
Well.
Wait, no.
I don't know.
Okay, so where were we? Basically, let's hit some bullet points of things that you wanted to talk about from this film.
Yeah, because we're kind of all over the place. I just wanted to get just to the base. So basically, what it is, so we, you know, they find it chilling, blah blah blah. They're trying to recruit Jacob because Jacob is kind of central to the story because he was Queenie's boyfriend, and so they're hoping, you know, that would kind of maybe take Queenie out of her spell or whatever, literally maybe.
So what was the deal with the wand they gave him in the movie?
So the wand was basically just to make people think that he was a wizard, I think, is what it was.
Okay, so it doesn't have any kind of powers or anything with him using it?
I don't think so, because Newt said that it was made of snake wood, which is rare, but it has no core, and I think the core is what actually allows it to actually function.
So the core is kind of like a battery in a flashlight.
Yeah, so I think technically the wand's just useless, doesn't work. And okay. But you can practice magic without wands, but it's pretty difficult, and only according to the TEF, J.K. Rowling, she said that the only group that's known to be able to practice magic without the use of like instruments is like some group in Africa. So I guess that was her way of saying like, oh, well, I'm saying that black people are superior to the white people now. So that evens out all the racism in my books, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into her intentions too much. But you know, it's like, oh, you see? Look, I gave them the non-wand magic, you know? So aren't I merciful, you know, whatever. And because they went to Hogwarts. So I think
that's one way to read it, too. There's another way that it could be that they're not, you know, smart enough to make wands or something that you can read it. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but I'm just saying somebody that wants to point out any kind of racism could point it out that way.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It could go either way, but it could also go the other way too, of that practicing wandless magic is exceedingly difficult and almost nobody can do it. So,
yeah,
you know, you find one group of people who can do it and they happen to be in Africa. So that could be a way of saying, hey, look, these people are like actually way more advanced than any other people, but yet we've only heard of them finally now and never throughout any of the books. Anyway, sorry, getting into stuff again. So they recruit Jacob, Lally, or what's the name, Lally?
It's doobie-doo-doo.
Is it Lally?
Lally.
Yeah. Lally recruits him by basically pretending to be like someone who's in trouble, being harassed by some guys, and he goes out with like a shovel or whatever, or no, a pan, to like fight him off, and then that like proves his bravery basically. So then she finally convinces him to go. They go through the port key or whatever, and they go into some train, and that Newt and all these other people, they're there, Kama Yusuf is there and whatever, and basically each person's given like their job for like what they need to do to thwart Grindelwald. So they give Bunty the suitcase. Bunty's Newt's like assistant for the past 8 years and 164 days or whatever. She's very meticulous about that kind of thing. And then he's kind of nervous, but she's the one that's supposed to take the suitcase with all the animal creatures. That's when he gives Jacob the wand. And he says, "You're gonna need this where we're going." And they go to Hogwarts eventually at some point. Dumbledore's not even there in the room at this point, he's just new giving out instructions. Yusuf is supposed to basically pretend to join Grindelwald's side, you know, because he's from a pureblood family. Another interesting thing about the racism in Harry Potter. So the racism in Harry Potter isn't really about skin color. It's about whether or not you're pureblood wizard. So he's black, but since he's pureblood, he's one of them, you know, which is interesting, but whatever. And Theseus, I forgot what his mission was. Doesn't really matter. They all go to separate ways with their own separate missions. They go to the German Ministry of Magic. Of course, it's got to be in Germany because Hitler, Nazi, fascism, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's got to be Germany. And are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Because I thought your thing, I didn't see your video.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm still here.
I was hoping the thing didn't just cancel on me. Whatever. So they go to, Newt, his mission is that he's supposed to give a message to the current leader, I guess, of the wizarding world named Vogel, I think, whatever. And his message is do what is right, not what is easy. And that's from Dumbledore himself. And then Vogel's like, is he here? And he's like, oh, of course not. He's at Hogwarts. Why would he be anywhere else when the whole world's burning down? So he's basically calling Dumbledore a hypocrite, you know, like, oh yeah, do what's right, not easy, when he's holed up in his castle or whatever, you know, which is not true, but that's what he thinks. And then so he ignores, you know, the message, and he says, no, actually, Grindelwald's absolved of all of the crimes that he's been accused of, and he's a free man now. So all of his followers are like, yeah, fascism rules, woo, let's go kill the Muggles, ha ha ha, whatever. And like, no one sees a problem with that. They're like, oh yeah, that's totally normal. Yeah, let's have these fanatics like running around now.
Let the lunatics run the asylum here.
Yeah, and, well, you know, again, very, very, you know, common thing going on these days in certain countries. Anyway, so and then that's bad enough, right? Well, let's make it worse. So now Grindelwald's allowed to be a candidate, which we mentioned already earlier. So it's like, wait a minute, come on, you just absolved him of his accused crimes like a day ago. Now you're letting him run to be essentially the king of the entire wizarding world. Like, you know, like, maybe, like, okay, here's a weird example. Okay, so like, let's say someone was accused of like just being violent towards someone, like whether it's to kids or a spouse or whatever, and you know, the person's known to be an angry person.
Yeah,
got an angry disposition. So let's say there's not sufficient evidence to try them or whatever, or sentence them or whatever. Would you still want that person alone with someone else that you know? Like, even if they technically can't do anything with them, would you take that chance? You know,
You would allow them to become president for 4 years.
True. Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
So he's allowed them once. So then they go to like this tea ceremony where all the candidates are present, and Grindelwald tries to assassinate Santos because I guess he views her as like his top competitor, which turned out to be true because the Chilean eventually chose her after Dumbledore. And Lally thwarts that attempt because like she had some weird thing in her drink that was like swirling around. I guess it was like burning liquid, so it probably would have killed her if she drank it. So Lally just took the liquid and just threw it against the wall, and you saw all this searing, like burning sensation. So then Grindelwald is taunting Jacob because he keeps sending Queenie to walk back and forth, and then she won't acknowledge him. So then Jacob's getting more and more frustrated by that. And he knows the reason why. It's because of Grindelwald. So then he goes up to try to challenge Grindelwald, and he points the fake wand at him. And then, like, this guy with, like, the coolest mutton chops ever goes, assassin! And then Jacob looks around because he thinks he's thinking of someone else, but then they all think it's him.
Yeah.
And then Lolly does magic to make it look like Jacob performed magic with the wand, because it's like some weird weather storm going on above the, you know, the ceiling or whatever. And then, like, that's basically just meant to distract everyone. Then she turns her book into a port key again to transport them to Hogwarts. And everyone's basically supposed to go back to Hogwarts after they finish their job or whatever. So Theseus, he got in trouble because he was following the person who was responsible for killing Leta, his fiance, Leta Lestrange. And then someone stuns him, and then they throw him some weird prison that's like basically where all the people get killed by this weird monster creature. But only when your lamp flickers out for some reason. Like, I'm not sure exactly how that signifies anything.
And,
but like,
and that whole deviation in the script was pointless.
It was.
There was no point to any of that.
It wasn't. It was the dumbest thing ever.
There was no reason for Theseus to even be off the canvas for that long.
Oh.
And for Newt to have to go get him or anything. It was just like a whole subplot that did not further the main plot, if you want to call it that, at all.
Oh, this movie. It was.
I got.
Stupid.
I literally got so bored. I was reading Facebook during that whole thing.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like this funny, upbeat thing. Like, oh, Newt's doing his little dance with the creatures again, like in the first movie. It's like, yeah, guess what? That's what made the first movie fun, because that was what the movie was about. He was searching for creatures, and then he lost his suitcase, and he had to go collect them again. That's what made it fun. But they're like, oh yeah, remember when that was fun in 2016? All right, we're going to do that again, but it's going to have no point at all. And like, again, what's with the lanterns going out? Why, like, why would the creature know that when the lantern goes out, it's time to kill the person? Like, there's no explanation as to that either. Like,
why do we need an explanation, Matt? We don't need anything, because this is such a great film. We don't need an explanation for anything in the whole fucking movie. I'm sorry. This movie pissed me off.
No, it is terrible. That's the problem with J.K. Rowling, though, is that she goes back and forth between having an answer for absolutely everything, which then takes away the mystery of the story, and then just leaves everything open-ended in some cases where you need an explanation. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that was interesting. Like, we now know, that's right, we got another scene where the Deluminator, which is a powerful magical instrument that Dumbledore invented himself, and we only know a little bit of its powers. Like, for example, Ron was able to transport himself. Whenever Hermione said his name out loud, it would transport him to like where they were at. He went away after a while because he got mad and he got frustrated. So he left them for a while. And then, so we know it has that kind of power, and it obviously can take out lights and put them back together and stuff like that. But it also apparently allows you to go into some weird mirrorverse, which we never had any indication that all exists in the magical world, which it seems to me almost like a, like, oh, Doctor Strange is coming out, so we're going to make a movie around coming out at the same time, and we're going to have, like, our own universe thing. That's what it seemed like to me, almost. Like, we're going to just copy off Doctor Strange, essentially. And so he uses the mirrorverse to fight this, like, battle with Credence, but since they're fighting in the mirrorverse, nobody really gets hurt. Which, again, if that was a form of magic that actually existed, then why later on in the Harry Potter movies and books, muggles are being killed and hurt because there's like battles being fought in their side of the town or whatever. If you could just fight these battles in the mirrorverse, is that just like magic that got lost?
Unless it's some kind of magic that only Dumbledore could use, and he decided to stop using it.
Possibly, whatever.
I don't know.
Anyway, so the crab scene was stupid. He gets Theseus out. The creature kills the warden because his lantern went out, and that's the time when the creature kills you for some unexplained reason, I guess. I don't know. And then they're in Hogwarts basically. They gotta apparate, or they gotta go to Hogwarts, and then that's where Jacob is like, kind of joking about his wand, because like, oh, that's a really cool wand he got there. He's like, yeah, you know, whatever it is, what it is. And they're like, where'd you get it? He's like, yeah, it was a Christmas gift. And they're like, wait, what? It's like, you don't get your wands for Christmas. Like, like,
that's when I got mine. Oh, wait, no.
And then, of course, the Slytherins, you know, because Slytherins always got to be bad no matter what, according to Ron. I wouldn't be surprised at this point if J.K. Rowling just retcons all Slytherins as being trans just because of how much she hates both of them, you know? So it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if she writes an article on Pottermore. It's like, guess what? Voldemort is a trans woman now. Deal with it or whatever. Wow. Like, okay, whatever. I'm like not even joking. Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she's like having like a wine mom moment where she's on Twitter and she's like, a trans person said something mean to me on Twitter yesterday with 12 followers, so I'm gonna screenshot it. And now I'm going to go and rewrite the entire Harry Potter novels just to get back at the all-powerful trans lobby or whatever. Who knows what she's thinking? I honestly think she's mentally ill.
Well, she just needs to read some stuff, you know, from George Lucas or Tolkien and just, you know, crib from it and then create her own series again. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's basically what fucking Harry Potter is. So
here's the thing, I forgot to mention this. I know I'm like, my thoughts are so like discombobulated today, or however you pronounce it. And so apparently someone had written on one of the comments somewhere, some video, that there's actually a movie or a book called Troll from 1986. I think it's actually a movie.
It's a movie.
And they made a movie called Troll 2. It's got nothing to do with the first movie. They just wanted to use the same title.
Well Trolls 2 is the one I think that has a character named Harry Potter in it.
Yeah, well, one of them has a character named Harry Potter, or Harry Potter Jr., whatever, mm-hmm. who learns magic, basically.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Anyway, so not only that,
it's a completely different type of character, though, so I'll give her that.
Well,
so,
okay, fine, or whatever.
And but then, she obviously probably stole the fucking name. But
here's the thing, though. There's Cindy Bush, you know, one of our friends. She was watching a movie once, and then one of the characters was named, I forgot their name, whatever. But basically, that's a character in Harry Potter, too, and it was like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So we're just like, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to talk about people stealing names, because there's a whole fucking series of books that stole my family's last name.
Yeah, so. Well, that's true, too.
Yeah,
Yeah, so fucking sparkly vampire bullshit. Yeah. But anyway, so they go to Hogwarts. The Slytherins are mean because Slytherins are all evil and all the good people are in Gryffindor. Blah blah blah. Okay, binary worldview. That's how Rowling sees the world. Okay, and then they leave Hogwarts after Dumbledore gives them like their next mission. Oh, here's another retcon thing. So Dumbledore claimed to Harry, which again proves that he was lying to him again, that he never discovered the Room of Requirement, which is basically the room just changes depending on whatever you need it to be. But it's like a secret location somewhere, like in a top floor, one of the top floors of the school.
Okay.
But they go in this Room of Requirement, and they use like some weird cylinder-looking thing as a port key to take them to wherever they need to go. And that's where they do the whole suitcase thing where they're trying to confuse.
Yeah, they're doing the whole like a three card Monty with some suitcases.
Yeah,
where
Jacob even
yeah, that's what Jacob calls it. So that's where we end up, where they're basically another pointless scene where you've got people opening up the wrong suitcases.
Oh my god, dude! Like, yeah, it's just like, oh my god, and there's like hardly any action.
It was literally like, you know when you're taking a test in school,
mm-hmm.
that you really don't want to take, but mm-hmm. you have to take it to pass the class? That's how I felt watching this movie, because it's like I've watched all the Harry Potter movies. I've watched the other two Fantastic Beasts movies. I feel like to pass this Potter World class of some sort, I needed to watch this movie. And the whole time I'm doing this, I feel like I'm taking that last exam.
Yeah, you're like yeah, you're like, you're invested. That's what I'm saying. Like, people are saying on like the Super Carlin Brothers thing, like Warner Brothers needs to like hire your guys to just come up with stuff, because their theories are so much more interesting
mm-hmm.
then what? Like, they had a theory where they thought maybe Jacob was actually a descendant of Helga Hufflepuff, but he just happened to be, like, he couldn't practice magic. That would have been kind of cool. And they had, like, reasons why they think that, because of, like, Kowalski. It meant something in Polish,
well, but yeah. Then it
translated to, like, so that would have been kind of a cool thing. No, we're not going to use that. And the wand issue, they're like, well, maybe we're going to be introduced to, like, a concept in the Wizarding World where, like, people have, like, various degrees of magic. So it's not so much of whether you have magic or not. Maybe some people are, like, super, super good at magic, and maybe someone just has, like a little smidgen, just a tiny little, like, maybe they got good luck or whatever, yeah. You know. No, not going to do that either. I'm like, okay, that was a cool idea, but no, I guess we won't do that. The wand's just fake. Well, okay, that was stupid. Or they're like, oh, well, what if the wand was bewitched itself to, like, perform magic no matter who was using it? Like, oh, that would be kind of a cool thing. No, not doing that either. So it's like, you got these guys on YouTube who, that's pretty much their job. They just come up with these theories and make YouTube videos. They're coming up with better shit than the whole team of writers, you know, for these movies. And it's just like, you know, use them. Like, I'm telling you, these movies would be so much better if they just used, like, one or two of their theories.
Well, I mean, really, the main problem I have with this whole series is they're giving, I know it's Rowling's baby or whatever, but they're giving her too much power over things. It's just like what happened with Lucas early, like, with Star Wars. When you give one person too much control over everything, you get either redundant or just weird stories that make no sense in continuity. It's why currently Star Wars is doing so well, in my opinion, is because you've got several different people working on things. Sure, Marvel's doing really well, and you do have, like, Kevin Feige as your main, you know, head of everything, but he's not writing the stories for every fucking movie. And and you know, like, with Star Trek, you've got several people writing all the different television shows and movies and stuff. So it's, you know, you've got good stories there. And it's like even the Duffer brothers have this, like, control over Stranger Things, for example, of something else that came out recently. But they're not writing every episode. And so you've got, like, other voices in the room. Whereas it feels like it's just Rowling kind of pulling the strings here. And nobody's telling her no.
Well, that's what happens when you're richer than God.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, nobody will tell her no. It's exactly what it is. And that's part of her problem as both a writer and as a person, is that she has to be in complete control of, you know, her own story, her own narrative, her own books. Everything about her is, if something doesn't make sense to me, I'm either going to force it to make sense or I'm just going to reject it outright. And it's like, you need to do some work on yourself, girl.
And with that, like, even if, like, she created this world and she put things in place, but because she's the one that did that, she has the right to change things, which is bad in certain ways. It's good in other ways, but it's really bad here.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because there's no explanation to the retconning, for example.
Yeah.
If there was an explanation, I'd like to hear it. Maybe we'll get one in, like, the 47th film of the series or whatever coming out in 2049, but, like,
yeah, when right now we've got, you know, Eddie Redmayne is using a walker to do his fucking, you know, he's got a magical walker or something, you know.
And then like Jude Law will actually look like Dumbledore in the movies, but, you know, for real, you can already see his beard's graying a little bit since like the last movie came out and stuff. So I don't know, man. Like, I tell you what, I'm giving this movie a half star out of five.
Yeah,
or maybe out of 10 even, really, to be honest.
That's about what I feel, and I mean, I think we've said enough about how,
we have.
About this, and I mean, there's a lot of things. The main thing that really pisses me off too is the fact that you've got this magical world, and you can't explain to me why, you know, why Grindelwald looks different than he did in the last movie,
or three movies, because I mean, he was different.
Well, he was different in the first one, but then he became Johnny Depp at the end because he had a... They explained it in that one.
Right, he took over like the
I mean, because like Colin Farrell was him in the first one, but he was like he was posing as somebody else, and that made sense. But this time it's like they want us to believe that this guy who had a weird eye in the last movie, I can accept the hair being different, you know, because people change their hairstyle from time to time. But did he get new contacts or something? Like what?
It's funny because he had like a one blue eye, and then the other one was like brown or something.
But it's like but it's like he's meeting with Jude Law's Dumbledore, and it's like, acts like he looks like Johnny Depp, you know, like he looks like the same dude, you know. And it's like, no, he's a different guy. He's got a different accent, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he looks like a Bond villain, or maybe James Bond himself in like a new series. Is what he looks like.
Well, Mads Mikkelsen did play a Bond villain in Casino Royale. So,
maybe that's why I was thinking of him.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
and in that movie, he had a weird thing in his eye. So they could have, you know.
They could have just done that. I don't know. Again, they could have explained this easily.
Yeah.
Because there is already a concept in the Harry Potter books where people can, they can actually change how their appearance at will, or if they learn the skill, at least if they have the ability or whatever,
or they should have just or to make me happy, they should have just had like the person that they have in General Hospital that announces that today the role of Jason Morgan is being played by, you know, I mean, they should have just
that would have been kind of like a cool fourth wall breaking thing. Like, just to show how ridiculous this whole movie is.
Today the role of Gellert Grindelwald is being played by Mads Mikkelsen.
And then we just don't get any exposition about any of the characters. Like, for example, Bunty is supposed to be like this all faithful, assistant to Newt. And it seems like she's like in love with him. And then like Newt, like barely really acknowledges her. Like, it's just weird. And like, but yet she stood by him this entire time. And she was given like the most important role. She was the one that had the real second villain. And so that was kind of cool. Like, oh, wow, Bunty finally has
she saved
like
the day.
Important. And then, like, they just glossed over then.
They should have made Bunty the new head of the magic people, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
She's the one that had the real chillin', which, again, the name chillin' just makes me feel weird. Like, chillin', man. Like,
the thing I found funny is, like, When the fake chillin bowed in front of Grindelwald, I was like, the chillin likes the villain.
Yeah, exactly. He's chillin with the villain, literally. Yeah. That would have been a good thing they would say, is like someone in the audience is like, hey, he's chillin with the villain, or the crowd or whatever. And then oh my god, dude. And then, like, again, Nagini, it's like Nagini is an extremely important character in the Harry Potter, like all seven books, we know Nagini is important to Voldemort for some reason. And we finally progressively learn more why she's important to Voldemort. And then you can't just have her in one movie where she's got like 10 lines, and then the next movie she's just gone and no one even acknowledges her
Well, I mean, but like Tina was completely gone from this movie too. It's just like, It's like they created too many characters and they didn't know what to do with them or something.
See,
and then they added other characters we didn't need. And I mean,
that's a great point though, right?
Yeah. Because
that's what the criticism was for the last movie, is that there seemed like it was like five different movies in one movie. So they're like, oh, we'll fix that problem by just getting rid of the characters.
But they added more characters. No offense. I mean, I thought Jessica Williams was great, but they added like Lally and other characters that they didn't necessarily need in this. But I mean, I'm happy that they added her because I have a crush on Jessica Williams, but the it's just weird that, you know, you didn't necessarily need her character, and that's nothing against her at all because she's a great actress and beautiful person. But I mean, the thing she did in this movie, you probably could have had Tina's character do.
Yeah, well, at least they explain Tina's absence.
Well, they explain it, but that's still is adding more characters for the sake of adding more characters.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, at least they gave you an example.
Well, at least they explained that on, like, Gellert's fucking face looking different. And voice. The face I can almost even excuse, but he has a different accent.
No, he has totally different. He's a different person in every three, or even all three movies, really, because Colin Farrell. Different. Mm. And again, there's no. So that's new magic that we've seen in this movie, because they do have Polyjuice Potion in Harry Potter, but it does not change your voice. You still sound like yourself, so you should not talk that much.
Yeah.
But now, apparently, you can change into anything you like, and your accent changes, too. So that's interesting. But
everybody still recognize you as who you are.
Exactly.
So it's basically, like I'm saying, it's the soap opera thing where one day, you know, a tall guy's playing AJ Quatermain in the show, and then the next day it's a guy who's like a foot shorter, and we all just act like it's the same guy that's been there the whole time, which works in a fucking soap opera, because that's always been the thing, but it doesn't work in a movie produced by fucking Warner Brothers.
Dude, Warner Brothers is just on shaky grounds in general lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially with Ezra Miller, because not only do you have them in one movie, you got them in two movies. And there's such a bad PR. How do you defend someone who's been like starting fights with like multiple families in Hawaii for like the past 2 months? Like, and they're like, oh, well, we can't recap now. Like,
and I mean, I understand they can't really do anything about their appearance in The Flash,
mm-hmm.
because they've already shot all the scenes.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, that movie's basically in the can. And it's not like you can just replace Ezra with somebody else.
But damn, it's just Warner Brothers is having a hard time lately, which I don't really care that much, because they kind of stood by J.K. Rowling without really giving some very, very timid response of like, oh, we believe in everyone should be themselves. It's like, oh,
we're not going to have her as part of the reunion on HBO Max.
Yeah, so that's our way of...
I don't know why I just went into a Lorne Michaels voice, but...
whatever, it's fine. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Overall, I mean, I love Jacob Kowalski. They should have just made a movie about him. That would have been fine.
I would love to see a TV series about Kowalski. It would be great.
Yeah, man. Just like his baking adventures.
Like him and Queenie. Just a show about him and Queenie.
In Queens. It would be King of Queens, literally.
Yeah, there we go.
They live in Queens.
That's
the new King of Queens, by the way. It's Jacob and Queenie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. It's appropriate we're covering this during Pride Month.
I didn't think about that actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Especially since she actually shared an article on Twitter a couple of days ago of like some bisexual or gay guy, I forgot which, basically saying that like the existence of trans people makes like homosexuality impossible, so like being trans is inherently homophobic, I guess, or something like that, or innately homophobic. Nice. So that's a great way to start off Pride, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's who she is, though. We know she's a terrible person, and if you disagree, then you're either just completely ignorant of reality, or you just happen to agree with her hatred. Yep. Either of those two. That's it, you know?
Well, I guess that's about all we got to say about this. Anyways, you know, hope you enjoyed this episode, folks. Check out alltoreal2.com. Working on a new YouTube channel for us. It's not up yet, but it will be soon, where you can hear our episodes there if you'd prefer on YouTube, and maybe some maybe some other cool things in the future. We might start some video series or something to be, you know, fun.
Some cool shit.
Yeah. But, anyways, follow us everywhere you follow us. Go to our TeePublic, go to our Patreon. Be good to each other. Mm-hmm. Support a local, you know, LGBTQ business if you can. You know, or donate to some charity that's going to help, you know, prevent assholes from bringing down any person in that community. you know? Right. You know, and don't be fooled by the whole, you know, rainbow everything in the world, because, you know, you can buy a Pride shirt at Walmart, but that doesn't mean Walmart doesn't support Mitch McConnell.
Right. Yeah. Or get fucking gayo mayonnaise. That may have been photoshopped, so I'm not sure if that's real or not.
But yeah, just don't, you know, be careful what you support and what you don't. And you know, if you're a straight person, don't eat at Chick-fil-A for this month. So
there you go.
That's a good way to
go. Popeyes. It's just as good. It might even be better, even.
But look into them too, see if what they donate to. I don't know. But
just make your own chicken at home, basically.
Yeah, that's good. Make sure who you buy the chicken for. Oh, anyway, so
Titan, they were doing things during pandemic with the.
but anyways, until raise next time, love one another, people. Just be kind to one another and be good and. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.